Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Jesus is born. The thing is, Jesus has to find out who he is, just like you and I, our children, have to find out who we are. So you go through the whole Bible. You know, in Luke, you know, read the story of Jesus when he's 12. You know, every year, Mary and Joseph went down to Jerusalem to the big feast for 8 days and took a son. And so it said, if you read, they went usual. Jesus is 12. They go down there. They do the feast. 8 days over, they go home. They always went in the caravan because it's a dangerous road. It's 63 miles between Bethlehem and where they go down there. So it's like it's very dangerous. So they go in a caravan. Protection takes about 4 days to get there, 4 days to get back, 8 days there. It's a two-week commitment. So all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph leave Jerusalem. They're going back home. They make camp that evening about 5 o'clock. She's making dinner. She looks up. She tells Joseph, because they've got other kids now. She's had some natural children since Jesus has been born. Joseph, get the kids in here for dinner. And so they all come running in except Jesus. Well, where's Jesus at? Joseph, what? Where's Jesus? Time for dinner. Go get Jesus. Get him in here. Well, I don't know. I didn't see him. Well, go get him. So Joseph wanders through the camp. He's looking for a son. You know his son. Silent night, holy night. We three kings of Orient are Jesus, Son of God, kumbaya. Well, he can't find him. He looks everywhere. He's not here. He can't find him. He goes back in. Mary's got dinner ready. Where's Jesus? I can't find him. What do you mean you can't find him? Go get him. Well, he's not out there. What do you mean he's not out there? Well, we've lost him. I think we've left him back in Jerusalem. My God, we've lost the Son of God. Yeah, we couldn't have lost one of the other ones. We happened to lose that one. Of all the ones we lose that one. So the Bible says the next morning they hoof it back to Jerusalem, a four-hour walk, and for 3 days they're looking everywhere for Jesus, the 12-year-old Son of God. They're looking in the movie theaters, the pool halls, the billiard places. I mean, where would a 12-year-old be? 3 days later, they can't find him. We have looked everywhere. All of a sudden, somebody said, well, maybe we ought to look in church. What? Yeah, maybe he's in church. What 12-year-old boy's in church? I don't know. He's kind of different. Maybe he's there. And they go down and there sits the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, listen to the scribes and the Pharisees asking a lot of really tough questions. Mary's living. What have you done? What have you done to us? Your father and I have been worried. Now she's talking to the creator of the universe. We have been worried. You shouldn't have done this to us. Jesus answers back as a 12-year-old boy, know ye not I need to be about my father's business? What? Mom, I don't know about you, but I got stuff I need to be doing. Now, what was he doing? He was finding out who he was. What's he doing? He's asking questions. Why? Because who is that? That's the creator of the universe, God Almighty. But he's also a human now. What's he doing as a human? Learning who he is. Why is he down there? If you're God, what are you doing down there at age 12? I'm finding out who I am. Do you know in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying to the Father before he goes to the cross? You know what Jesus asked the Father? Father, can you let this cup pass from me? Because he just realized, I'm about to get the dog beat out of me, and they're going to nail me to that wood. Father, can you let this cup pass from me? You're the creator of the universe, don't you know? No, I laid down my glory in heaven, took on the body of a man. I am God, but I can't do anything as God, or that'll be cheating. A man lost it. A man's got to get it back. I'm here as a man, and I don't know. I'm having to learn who I am, just like you and your children have to learn who you are. Jesus didn't cheat. The things I do, you will do also, and even greater things than these will you do. So also, we know about parenting. God did it with his own son. You're going to have to grow up and learn who you are. That's what age 30, he read that scripture in Isaiah. When he finished reading that I'm going to heal the sick, raise, did all those things, he went and sat down in Messiah's chair. Every synagogue, Jewish synagogue's got Messiah's chair. Nobody sits in that. That's when Messiah comes back. Well, what stunned him that day at age 30, when he finished reading that scripture, he went and sat down in that chair. That's why the Bible says all eyes were fixed on him. Hey, he's sitting in that chair. And he had just said, today, I know the scripture's 2,000 years old. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing here. And they were all amazed. Oh, wasn't that good what he said? That was good what he said. What did he read that good. We need to have him read more often. He reads really good when he reads. What did he say? He said he was the one what? The Messiah. The who? Yeah, he said he's the Messiah. Oh, that's Joseph's kid. And all of a sudden, a riot broke out. They jerked him up out of that chair, and they shoved him, tried to shove him off the edge of the cliff, the end of town, but Jesus walked through the middle of them. And what's that got to do with parenting? I'm trying to tell my kids, my job, mom's job, is to train you up. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. To teach you the word of God so you know who you are in him and whom in Christ. Why? To make you a mighty man and woman of God. To go serve God the rest of your life with great zeal and great joy. Why? Hell's coming. And if you don't chase hell, hell will chase you. I'm going to make you more than a conqueror and an overcomer. All things are going to be possible to you. You're going to love school. You're going to love college. You're going to love life. You're going to love marriage. You're going to love having babies. You're going to love paying bills and solving problems. It's what we do. Welcome to planet Earth, where Satan is God and hell is reigning. And here we are. We are special forces behind enemy lines. We are looking for hell. And when's that start? When they're a child. So I thought, well, if Jesus grew, how do my children grow? Well, give you two scriptures. Psalms 112, verses 1 through 5. The whole chapter is great, Psalm 112. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the man or woman that fears God and delight in his commandments. If I fear God and I delight in his commandments, my seed will be mighty upon this planet. Or the New Living Translation says it this way, my children will be successful everywhere. The promise is, if I fear God, how do you fear God? You ask for it, Father. Psalm 34:11, come to me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Father, teach me to fear you. How do you get the fear of God? Lay on hands? No, you ask for it. Father, teach me to fear you. Father, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. How do you get long life, riches, and honor? You fear God. How do you fear God? You ask me to teach you. What do you need your children to do? I need my children to fear God. I don't need you to make straight A's now. So I don't need you to be on the homecoming float or first chair flu. I don't need you to be captain of the Ball State basketball team. I need you to fear God. Because if you don't fear God, you're going to go stupid on me. Because the devil's not afraid of you. The devil's afraid of Christ in you. So I need to teach you who you are. Oh, I want you to pass out. I want you to do great on athletics. I want you to excel and be the head. Not that I want you to serve and go be the captain by serving everybody. But I need you to know who you are. It won't matter. Because smart people go to hell every day. Talented people go to hell every day. Educated people go to hell every day. My primary focus, I need to teach you to fear God. That's why Malachi said, you know what I'm looking for out of you parents? No, I'm looking for a godly seed. Not just a seed, a godly seed. I want them to fear me. I want to make them successful. I thought, well, praise God. Let's get that. Now, I was sitting in church first time I heard Psalm 112. If you fear God, light your commandments, your seed will be mighty upon this planet. I thought, dear God, I read that too late. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I did. I thought, psh, I should have read that years ago. Too late for mine. I only had three kids at the time. I had three kids. We had three kids in diapers at the same time. I said, dear God, it's too late. I said, Lord, you mean my seed? My seed that broke out the bay window trying to get rocks across the top of the house, they can be mighty upon this planet? Yes. You know, you mean my seed that let all the air out of the Suburban tires one hot July day with a stick just to fill the window in their face? And I'm not going to turn my Suburban into a lowrider in my driveway before lowriders were popular. Like, Dad, Dad, come feel it, come feel it. No, no. My seed will be mighty. Yes. My children will be successful. Yes, they will. Okay. When's the teacher's appointment? All right. Praise God. You're going to be successful. So I thought, how do I do this? Well, it's in Luke 2:52, and it's the whole summation. It says, and Jesus grew. Jesus grew. Luke 2:52. In wisdom and in stature and favor of God and favor with man. Jesus grew. So here it is. Here's what you do as a parent. I love my kids. Like I said, we had five of them here today. We love our kids. We do not always agree on everything. They have their own mind. All of our kids are in church. They all volunteer in some capacity. Said, you're not in church if you're just sitting in a chair. You got to be participating. You don't get back unless you sow some seed. Our kids never griped about going to church because they never heard us gripe. Been in church since the day they were born. They never questioned, we got to go this Wednesday? We go every Wednesday. We go when the door's open. Kumbaya. We're going to go early, probably stay late, probably going to work, pick up some stuff and help some other people. It's what we do. It's wonderful. And so our kids have never griped about going to church. They griped about a lot of stuff. Church is just normal. It was church. It's Sunday, you go to church. Why? That's where you grow. You grow in the grace of knowledge by getting around other people. The prayer of doctrine, breaking bread and fellowship. How do you grow? Prayer and doctrine. You got to study the word. You got to pray. You got to hang out with people and eat lunch with them. That's how you grow. If you don't, you stop growing. And if you stop growing, that's where you get arrogant. I don't need church. That's how you bless your little doofus heart. You're just stupid, aren't you? I don't need God. I don't need nothing. You're just an ignorant doofus. Bless your heart. No, you need God. You need other people. You can't grow by yourself. So we realized early we need to teach them and train them. So I took everything, taught parenting for 8.5 years in our local church, covered 384 subjects. When we started to travel, I thought, how do I teach 384 subjects on a weekend? So I pulled everything down into one of four areas. So we teach four sessions, and I kind of pull everything to this. The first is this: Jesus grew in wisdom. If Jesus grew in wisdom, I need my children to grow in wisdom. It's just a great scripture. Now, I'm not going to hold it up. If you look up in Proverbs, four kinds of kids in Proverbs: wise, simple, foolish, and scornful. Wise children live long, are filthy, stinking rich, bring honor to the family name, they honor God, they can scale the wall of a city and tear it down. They're big overcomers. If you're not wise, you're stage two, you are simple-minded. Simple-minded kids aren't evil, they're not mean, they're just ignorant, they don't know the word. What do they lack? Wisdom. Are they mean? No, they just have no wisdom. They can't ever seem to make the right decision. Are they bad? No, they just have no wisdom. You've got to have wisdom or you're going to become a simple-minded individual, gullible, taking advantage of other people. If you stay simple-minded too long, Proverbs says you go to stage three, you become a fool. It's sport for a fool to make mischief, Proverbs says. The fool is the kind of kid that wants to steal stop signs and steal yield signs and peel their tires out of a red light, see what they steal from a Quick Trip without getting caught. They like to push the envelope to prove their worth because they don't know who they are. But the Bible says the fool is like a dog that pukes his guts out and then goes back and eats it. Nasty. You don't want to have a fool or have your kid marry a fool. It's just not good. None of the scriptures on a fool are good. And if you stay a fool too long, you go to stage four, you become a scorner. The Bible says in Proverbs, a scorner hates those that love them. The more you try to help them, the more they hate you. The Bible says, cast out a scorner, strife and contention will cease. A scorner has the ability to get everybody around him in trouble and never get caught himself. We call them gang leaders. Gang leaders get their gang caught. They don't get caught. They're not that stupid. They get gullible, simple-minded kids to follow them because they don't know who they are. If you don't know who you are in whom, in him, in Christ, you're looking for identity. Like I said, we joked about last night, you'll wear your hat backwards and the breeches of a 400-pound man and the jewelry of your mother and you peel your tires out of a red light. I don't know who I am. I did it. I dressed like Elvis. I cut my, what are you trying to do? I don't know. I'm just trying to get some attention. I need somebody to look at me. We were getting gas close to the office, months ago. Had some of the kids with me. Kid pulled in, kept his motor running while he pumped gas, which is really not smart. He's got neon lights under that bottom. He's lowered that pickup right down off the ground. He's got neon lights on it, so it glows like a spaceship. I don't know how many speakers he had in that thing, but it boom, boom, choo, boom. And he's out pumping gas, man. Got that hat on backwards, those big britches. You can see his underwear. Boom, boom. And so I'm getting gas. And so I just turned around and I looked at him. As I'm getting gas, I just stared at him. And Sarah, who's here, she's, Dad, quit staring. No, no, honey, he wants you to stare. That's why he did this. Dad, quit that. You're going to make, no, but he wants you to look. Nobody wants, and listen, he's got his underwear showing. He wants you to look. That's not an accident. So I just stared at him. Pretty soon he looked over and I went, he went, I made his day. I looked at him. Kids who grow up not knowing who they are will be a show-off. They'll suck the oxygen out of every room they go into. Wow, they don't know who they are. And they need honor. They need worth. Where do you get your worth? Knowing who you are in God. I don't have to be anything except accepted. I'm accepted in the beloved. I can walk in the room and be a blessing. I don't need it. So I realized, how do I get wisdom into my kids? Well, if you look the word up on wisdom, that means you have a vision for your life. Jesus grew in wisdom. What does that mean? He had a vision. Jesus knew, the Bible says in Hebrews, Jesus knew where he came from. He laid down his glory in heaven, took on the body of a man. Where are you from? Well, I came from my Father, heaven. What are you doing here? Well, Luke 2:49, I need to be about my Father's business. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, he endured the cross for the joy sitting in front of him. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew why he was here. And Jesus knew where he was going. He had a vision for his life. So when hell hit him, he never cussed or growled. When they tried to stone him, throw him off a cliff, accuse him of lying, of being of the devil, he can handle it. Why? I know who I am. I know what I'm doing here. You can't mess with me. Matter of fact, if I called right now, I can get 12,000 angels and pound you in the dirt. But I'm not. I'm going to die for you, you little doofus. So I realized we got to get our kids in church. We got to make them love the Word of God. So we didn't make it, you read your Bible. You better read your Bible. You're going to go to hell. That won't work. So we had to entice them with it. So we'd make up things. Now, I would drive them to school every morning. I had a New Living Bible, one-year Bible, paperback. We wore a bunch of those out. So we lived 31 miles from the school. So we lived way out in the country. So we'd get in the suburban, heading to school. We'd pull down the mile and 7/10 to the paved road. So we're driving. Hey, what day is it today? And I got kids in the back. Some are still getting dressed. Some are doing their homework. Some still have breakfast in their mouth. You know, it's like it's a zoo. I said, what day is it? What's the 8th? And I take the Bible and I throw it over and say, okay, Proverbs chapter 8, read the first three verses. Dad, I can't. I got homework to do. I can't do it right now. You read the first three verses right now. Dad, I can't. I'll pull off the side of the road right now and I'd stop the Suburban. Read the first three verses. Okay, God said, blah, 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 blah. Thank you. Now pass it to somebody else. It wasn't a holy moment. But they read that Bible every morning. Why? I'm going to make you read this. You can like read it or not like read it, but you're going to read this book because it's loaded and you're going to read something that the Holy Ghost is going to bring to your remembrance. At some point today, you're going to be glad you read this because it's going to come up. God's going to use his word to bless you at some point in a relationship and school and somewhere. It's like, oh man, I'm glad I read that this morning. I shouldn't be so mad when I read that. I got to read that with a better attitude. Get them in the word of God, because if you're not in the word of God, it won't work for you.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.